Welcome back to the Spinner Rack, all the new you maniacs, here at Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy with Psi-Force number 28. And
Steven with something in the vague shape of a backup story.
Hardly recognizable.
It fills the number of pages they asked for, but... New Universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The New Universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we are headed into 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the U.S. government has started capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be headed towards a war.
War.
With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Is this your favorite? Maybe. You can also find us over at our website, kickersinc.com, where we are trying to put together more fun stuff for you all. Galleries of commissions, official handbook of the Marvel New Universe pages, New Universe publication schedule. That seems to get asked a lot. And if you're tired of that, you can always find us over on X at kickersinc. Where I dispense up cool shots from upcoming issues and mention things in the news that correlate to it.
Right. Follow yeah. us so your feed is not 100% porn.
That OnlyFans model will not love you the way we do.
Right? Yeah, that's true. No custom content, though. Well, anyway,
that's
week
on our Patreon.
No, my fansly. This week we get back to Psi-Force. Wayne, Tyrone, Thomas, Lindsay, and Kathy, or maybe Johnny Doe, are paranormals who've endured constant harassment from various political and corporate organizations intent on using their powers for corporate gain.
Hey, honey, why don't you go in there and make me a sandwich? Oh, not sexual harassment. I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else.
Or sandwichual harassment. No, that's not it either. And yeah, so the Marvel Age solicit is Psi-Force 28. Kathy Ling is on her own, and her telekinetic powers are pushed to the limit when she faces the Russian paranormal...
Shvotnaya.
Thanks. I don't know if I can say that all day.
Started abbreviating all the Russian names in the notes just for...
Shivao.
Perfect.
Will Kathy be up to the test or will she break? Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Eric Larson, inked by Chris Ivey. 32 pages, Mando offset paper, direct sales only, $1.50.
That one's pretty close, but I'm sorry to say Eric Larson was apparently not available. If he was in line to do this, it would have been pretty interesting, though, I gotta say.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of Image guys come by. We will also be discussing the bonus feature, aka backup story. We have a letters column this issue, and we may touch into some universe news that's appropriate.
Yeah, I turned the page and I'm like, what is this thing with all the words?
Blah, blah, blah.
I haven't seen this in years. Like some kind of letters page? Do we still do that?
It's a, and this was maybe the book that had the most letters. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Psi-Force 28 with a very fun connecting cover. So if you line it up next to your 27, you know, maybe don't peek at 29 just yet. It almost connects. It's a little off. Or maybe just my copies. And the colors are a little funky. So the Shvoitnia woman monster lady is kind of yellow on one and brown on the other. And maybe the legs also orange. I guess it's a triple threat, triple colored character. But anyway, the cover is that Shvoitnia.
You're getting better.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Just like basically grabbing onto, person who's hard to recognize, which we find out is Kathy Ling, with Serge Vladimirov just kind of staring at us in the front, in the foreground. And then we see a little peek of like a hand from the other side. But I haven't connected that part yet. And our title is Siberian Project Part Two, The Smell of Fear. Which I quite like.
So I thought that was a song title, but I was wrong. I couldn't it didn't match up to anything. There was a Lynyrd Skynyrd that's The Smell Around You or something like that. That's probably what I was thinking of, but
I
it was not.
Is this our first like multi-part story, like as shown on the cover, like part one, part two, part three, part four. I think it is, right?
I think so, yeah. We've noticed like a that is a common structure for some recent stories. Justice just finished his 3 or 4 part one with Quill, but this is the first time they've put it on the cover and been very explicit about it, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like 90s was really big into that, or like, 0 Hour Part One and that kind of stuff. It really started to take off, but it's a fun little touch.
Yeah, I still remember. I think Checkmate over at DC had that Janus directive and like part 12. The
Yeah.
yeah,
When you get into 12, that might be pushing it, but.
it's it gives you an extra bit of spy story kind of n naming structure, I guess.
Right. Well, anyway, this is a February 89 comic, though in reality, probably more like October 25th, 1988. So there was a couple weeks of break of no new universe. So you'd show up to your store, having been used to having at least a new universe comic coming out every week, and nothing, not even a Star Brand. You got nothing this week.
Ouch.
But eventually, Cyforce came back. So yeah, Fabian Nicieza writes, Rodney Ramos as penciler, filling in for Eric Larson, who never came back, I believe. And there's kind of an interesting opening. So instead of like the recap we get on the inside panel cover from the diary of Serge Vladimirov, dating us September 25th, 88. And I don't know, it might almost be interesting enough to be worth just kind of reading it, but he says, we have survived the attempted subversion by Thomas Boyd, American paranormal, being held at the project. As with most things in life, it ended with a compromise. Like most compromises, neither side obtained exactly what they wanted. The world has become one festering compromise since the White Event brought us this paranormal plague. Only the smartest, the ones who best know how to use these incredible beings to their advantage, will maintain any semblance of control in the coming century. Ooh. It says, here at the Siberian Project, we have many such paranormals. Our entire reason for existing is the precise, concise manipulation of these parahumans toward our own desires. Five of these children comprise a group, grouping informally known as Psi-Force: Wayne Tucker, Kathy Ling, Lindsay Fellman, Thomas Boyd, and then Johnny Doe, which is just, is that just John, a play on John Doe, I think, but.
That's what the way I assumed.
Yeah, the autistic boy who was formerly a member of our Red Sun Soviet paramilitary task force, whom Boyd has taken under his guidance. So, well, that's kind of interesting that he calls him Psi-Force, but.
Yeah, that was like the CIA files or something, so
Yeah.
KGB
Sorry,
stole
Tyrone,
that
you got
line.
demoted.
You'll
Demoted to the
see
backup story, demoted off Psi-Force.
Tyrone is the missing link there, but we're back to five if you throw Johnny Doe in. So,
Yeah,
okay.
he's like, if these five children could be Properly manipulated, the rewards would be innumerable, but which buttons should be pushed? Which one needs encouragement? Which one needs outrage? Which one needs to be hurt? I have to find out quickly because I'm not the only one here hoping to control these beings, and I never felt that my desires matched those of my peers. And there's a lot of surge in this issue, so that's kind of a good framing of like where he's coming at this whole thing.
Yeah, he's not the one-dimensional guy shouting, "Kill the Indian," that we were
Yeah.
introduced to. Although he's not that far from that guy either, so yeah.
Not that far, no. I actually liked him, and again, it shouldn't go too long before we get into the book, but like if the original Psi-Force comparison was like the Breakfast Club, like I think at this point he's become like the angry vice principal, like trying to keep them all in line as they're running amok. It's like a Siberian Breakfast Club with paranormal flair kind of deal.
Nice, nice.
Works. So we've been getting used to this. Our opening splash pages, some guy in pajamas slash Wayne Tucker, I guess, is really kind of unrecognizable.
Shaving everyone's head was kind of a
Terrible, terrible idea.
terrible idea from an artistic point of view.
But yeah, all the Psi-Force kids have like shaved head, like buzz cuts kind of now. So you can see their hair color, but not much else. And there, a lot of them are wearing like prison garb too, so it's even less personality. But he's kind of like, shouting psychically to the void, to Babel, to Tyrone. You get some foreshadowing. We've foreshadowed Justice coming to the rescue, and so we get like a, "What do you mean? Why not? Look at what he's done: paranormal, judge, jury, and executioner all in one. Wait till he gets a load of us." Right, and so stuff like that. Then maybe some talking to Boyd about reading Curious George to the autistic paranormal kid, stuff like that. So it's a little mysterious, but not as interesting per se.
You can figure it out if you
One's a little
read it through.
more, a little less random, So we open up the next page. We get to October 3rd. The combat situation room of the Siberian Project for Paranormal Research, right? So like think
Danger
like
room.
low budget danger room. Though
In
we talked
Soviet
about
Russia,
it.
room dangers you.
There's like dummies and computers and then like just some random thing on the floor right next to them, which I really can't figure out what it is.
An ant farm or something? I don't know.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. But basically Kathy is there. They're all wearing like discount, knockoff Russian Adidas track suits. And she's surrounded by that beast girl, Shvotnya, Silatochka, the he can explode things with his oversized brain. And then oh shoot, what's the woman's name? You got it?
Kujichesku.
Yeah.
Kujichesku.
And she makes like force cubes kind of thing. So yeah, they're
Reward.
basically just like doing a training. And so like Vladimirov is watching, at first, Kathy's pretty much just like taking it to him. Like she's got force blast and knocking him over, dodging, flying through the air, flips. And so, she's gotten, when she was on the run, they said she had gotten really good at manipulating her powers. So not only can she send things flying, but then she can also like make herself fly, give or take. So lots of cool like flips and projections. Maybe, yeah, no, it doesn't look like they destroy the weird little ant farm. Something else on the ground gets wrecked. So she's kind of making fun of him. Yeah, she just yells cowabunga butthead to the Silatochka guy, who's again, he's got like the big head kind of thing with a little kind of like cleft on the top. So she's
I did figure out which 50s sci-fi movie that he reminds you of.
oh yeah.
This Island Earth, the
Ooh.
guy Exeter is alien, but the only way you tell is his giant head. But no one mentions it in con polite conversation. I don't know.
Nice. But the fight goes on. Kathy's pretty much taking it to everybody. She gets surrounded by one of those force bubbles, which I enjoy because it looks like Like it's green, so it looks like a gelatinous cube from D&D. It's just without all the junk floating around in it, kind of thing. Like the skeleton and the crown and whatnot.
Yes.
But even
Exactly.
that doesn't hold her. She's like, I have you now, girl. And Kathy's like, yeah, well, if your powers are as lame as your English, then I got nothing to worry about. So she just expands for, yeah, there you go. Hop. I don't know if the mic picked that up. Nope.
Ah, sorry.
It's your
Get a better mic
discounted
for next
Siberian
time.
microphone. It's not cutting it.
Okay.
Yeah, she pops out, kind of like again, kind of flying through the air. The big brain guy, it looks like I can't quite tell what he's doing. It looks like he's kind of like dissolving or destroying some of the dummies in her direction. His power, I guess, is molecular expansion. So you can kind of rip things apart, or perhaps do it so fast that you get kind of an explosion. But basically, like as he's maybe ripping through those dummies in her direction, she like jump flips, karate kicks him like straight in the chest. So like she's really like turned into some kind of badass, I guess. And
Yeah,
even
Papa Five is really, those two panels where she's sort of jumping and kicking, it really shows the limitations of the art here. I don't know.
it does, unfortunately. The only benefit is that it's all kind of far shots, so but the wonky detail doesn't quite hit you. Anyway, I've looked at it so many times, I'm a little desensitized, but the first read through, I was like, eh, it's drawn. So yeah, but the Russians who are watching on screen are like, remarkable. If anything, her traumatic experience has enhanced her control over her parabilities. And then the woman's like, but she's still an airhead, which I don't get because that's not really her personality. Like she's got the valley girl kind of affectation, but she was never dumb, like at all.
Yeah, she. Yeah, they're kind of projecting on her a bit, or sort of thinking of her older file or something. She's definitely moved beyond that basic whatever.
So, but after kind of, drop kicking the big brain guy, she does like a couple more like pirouettes, flips, basically like smacks right into the chest of the beast woman, this Shvoitnir, which growls at her, and then you just like an eep. So like all of her cool fades away, and she gets afraid, kind of crawling backwards, stay back. But it just like grabs her by the leg, holds her up in the air, and she's like, "That's over. I quit. I quit. I give up." So, as tough as she is, this beast girl really freaks her out. So, like, she sort of found a weakness. And you even get Vladimirov in the screens watching, saying, fascinating." But anyway, I guess it was just a training. So, they put her down. Kind of walk off the. Sulatochka, big brain guy. It's just so much easier to say big brain guy. Kind of comes to her side. He's like, "Are you hurt?" He's like, "Ah, I'm fine." And so she asks what his name is, and she says, "Sorry, I called you butthead before." He says, "What means that word?" It's like, forget it.
Nice, nice guy. That's,
He
oh,
seems
how are you?
nice.
So.
Yeah. So he kind of goes on, you shouldn't be afraid of you. It's her fear she senses, you're the prey and she's the hunter kind of stuff. You are everything she can never be. She is everything you hate about this paranormal curse, correct? So it's kind of like, she never liked being different, paranormal, but she looks normal, like a regular person, whereas the beast girl's kind of stuck looking like some sort of giant yak-like creature. So you got the short end of the stick. And so Leonid, big brain guy, kind of walks off thinking he's like conspire with the enemy. He's kind of sadly thinking to himself, conspire with the enemy, give them something else to use against you. At this rate, I'll never see my wife and daughters. Yeah, because again, a lot of these guys are there, you know, under duress because, you know, their family is kidnapped and such. So he literally runs into Lindsay Fallman in the hallway, who has become, oh, geez, like, what's the term? Like, it's not quite shrinking violet, but like, she's just weak and faints all the time.
Anemic?
Maybe. But she just passed, she's like a passing out machine now. Like
Yeah.
Jean Grey in the 90s X-Men cartoon would always pass out every time she used her powers a little too much, kind of thing. It became a little bit of a meme. But, you know, she bumps into the guy, kind of collapses off of her walker, and gets all these sad mental images of everybody crying and guns and barbed wire fences. And Leonid's kind of taken back. It's like, what? What did you do? I could feel my family. It's like, you know my family? She's like, I don't. I felt them. They're okay. So how do you know? But yeah, again, she has those psychic something or other, touch the thing and then learn about what the people that owned that thing are doing power.
I think she says the word later,
She
so
does, yeah, but it's escaping me.
psychomimetry, something like that.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
anyway, it seems like this Leonid with the big head and the explodo powers, you know, is at least sort of sympathetic, right? He doesn't want to really want to be there. He's not necessarily on the Russian side. So maybe, you know, there's a he maybe he ends up kind of working with them or helping them a little bit. We cut back to Kathy's just walking through down the hallway and gets to the door where Wayne's room is, and it's like locked, and there's two guard guys, though maybe both listening to Walkmans, so maybe not the best guarding guys.
Yeah, weird. I didn't
Yeah,
notice that.
I didn't notice it at first, but like, yeah, distinctly both chilling with the cassette tapes. And you know, they won't let her see Wayne. She's like, he's not well enough for visitors. You'd agitate him. But she's really not having that. So she just levitates all of them off the floor and then like smashes the door open with her powers and rushes in. You know, so Wayne is unconscious. You know, he's just laying in his bed. They still have the lamp on him for some reason. And again, unfortunately, like all of these characters are kind of unrecognizable. Like we have to kind of know by the when they're
Wayne, it's
calling each other.
you. Is that Wayne? I don't know. Yeah. I yeah, the well, I mean, at least the dialogue plus the art adds up to a relatively clear thing, but if they were like faking us out somehow that this wasn't Wayne or something, we
Yeah,
would be as completely in the dark. Yeah.
we would never know. I like these also like super ripped too, just like official like comic book, everybody's ripped muscles.
He does seem to have been working out after several months in a coma.
Those tubes they have on his chest are just steroids. Just roiding him up. That's how we can control
Guess
Yeah,
that'll
well, I
work.
mean, that was Surge in the beginning, right? You know, which one needs encouragement? Which one needs outrage? Which one needs roids? Ah, screw it. Give them all roids. Our acne
Roid time.
medication budget is going through the roof.
Oh,
Oh.
yeah. Okay.
Anyways, Surge comes in and yells at them. You know, Vice Principal Surge comes in. What are you doing? Are you going to let medical personnel assist your friend, or are you here to incite more violence? And she's like, I'm sorry, I just wanted to see him. And he says, maybe so, but then in his head, but not as sorry as you're going to be. So yikes. Anyway, she walks off. You know, a little bit more lecturing from Serge. You know, don't be like your friend Thomas. You wouldn't want to end up the way he has. Detention for 3 more weeks. He kind of is in detention, I guess. And we do get a quick look at Thomas, who last issue, of course, you know, he caused a big ruckus in order to free the autistic Russian paranormal that can control fire. And his deal was, he wouldn't take over the place if they let him, hang out with the guy and, try and treat him and kind of get to know him or, something. He didn't really have a great plan, but I guess he's reading him children's books and trying to get the kid to talk. And it doesn't really work at all. The kid's just kind of looking at him, holding his head. And as Thomas starts to get kind of frustrated, and starts crying a little bit, he's like, "Oh, I'm so alone. Why did you do it? Why? I'm trying so hard." And then the Johnny kid again kind of like puts his hand on his shoulder a little bit. And I'm sorry, Thomas breaks a little bit. He's like, "All right, it isn't much, but I'll take it, you little nut." And gives him a hug. It's like, hey, who
The
would have predicted that it would be so hard for a random 19-year-old to try and bring a severely autistic paranormal out of his shell?
so I this is only sort of half remembered before, but Rain Man did come out in 88, although it was
Ah,
December 88.
okay. So
So
yeah,
I
it
don't
wouldn't
know
be.
if it's like in that. There's not a lot of specifics, but maybe that there's sort of a cultural awareness of the issue, and they're starting to sort of think about, oh, hey, this would be an interesting way to go for a character. Did you say the when Thomas is getting frustrated, he's going, I'm sorry, Stas, I'm trying so hard, I'm so alone, why did you do it? So he's still got Stassi on the mind, and
Thanks for.
it's he's yeah, they're all very frustrated, but yeah, that those bits are helpful for understanding his frame of mind.
100%.
Anyway.
So then we get, you get a, I love, I'm a sucker for some good old fashioned like narrator storytelling. It's like night falls on the project like a kick in the head. Why have I chosen to cultivate my future in such a forsaken place? So this is
Most
Thurge.
bureaucratic administrators have this kind of frustrated poet quality to their
Right.
logbooks or whatever it is.
Least they wish they did. Yeah, he's like, it was upon my recommendation that this former research center be transformed into a paranormal studies institute. At the time, the isolation seemed logical, kept them away from civilization, allowed me to work without constant committee interference, and not too many meetings on Zoom. Now I just wish to see the Red Army Hockey Club play one more time before I orchestrate the end of the world.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, there actually is the Red Army hockey team, though I guess that's a nickname for them. Because why not do a slight dive into Russian hockey, right?
See.
HCCSKA Moscow, apparently owned by an oil company, which happens to be owned by the government. So it is sort of a government-run hockey team at that rate, I guess.
Yeah, interesting.
They also won the Gagarin Cup finals. Or no, they reached the Gagarin Cup finals 6 times in a row.
Six times. I have no idea. Like,
Was
I
named after the
wonder.
astronaut guy. That's something, right?
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what sports is like in Russia. So, I mean, like, how many teams are in their leagues or anything. So
No,
I
yeah, it
also don't
seems.
know much about American sports, honestly. But the back in the Soviet days, yeah, I know they I could imagine was fairly limited, but you would also think they would try to promote such things to be kind of distract people. So I don't know
Right.
how that worked out.
Look how amazing we all are, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I see my hockey diversion has made you uncomfortable, so.
I'll just be reading this wiki page I found. This is amazing. Centralnaya Sportivnyi Klub Army. Yeah. Okay. Central Sports Club Army.
It looked like their original stadium had seating for like 8,000 people, so like maybe not that big.
I think your Red Wings had more seats than that. But anyway.
But anyway, so the Surge at night gets interrupted. He's got a Sony TV screen like intercom thing going on the wall, which is pretty sweet.
Was wondering what about like why they would point that out. I think a lot of there was a reputation of the Soviets for like buying or pirating technology, but I don't know.
Yeah. Hijacking a Japanese freighter with electronics or
Just
something.
fell off a boat. I don't know what happened, Tony.
Yeah. But it's one of the Siberian project workers, who's with Kathy, and he's like, Miss Ling wanted to speak with you. She was quite adamant. He's like, was she now? It's like 12:30 in the morning. Whatever you have to say better be good. And she's like, I do have a good reason. You see, I was thinking about what you said for a while, and I was talking to Wayne too. He told me what Boyd really did to you guys a month ago. So it's, I guess there was like an off panel or secret psychic communication with Wayne that we didn't see. It's like, put one over on you pretty good, I hear, which means you lied to me. I'm tired of being lied to, Vladimirov, says random person who I can't recognize. Just again, sorry, art comments. He's like, I'm tired of being played around with. So basically, like, she sends, I don't know if it's really Boris or she's calling him Boris, this guy, other guy flying, and then looks like psychically kind of like choking Surge up in the air. Like, you see, like, a yellow line kind of going up to his neck and suspending him. It's like, for weeks, you've been riding me, playing head games, trying to manipulate me, pumping me full of steroids. No, no more. I ain't scared of you no more. I died once already, you idiot. I've realized that it didn't get worse than that. It don't get worse than that. Get off my back, Vice Principal Vladimirov, or I'll break yours. I really like this angle that's Breakfast Club guy trying to keep these kids in detention. It's not working.
Yeah.
Roam in
Tension's
the
breaking
halls,
down. I don't know what's
causing
going on.
fights. Ugh. And
Like their own musical montage.
right. And so we cut back to Leonid, big brain guy, Silatochka, and he's sneaking around too. So, like, really, like, everybody, nobody's following the rules here. He's like, thinking to himself, I'm making a big mistake. I know it. Only one guard. I'm sorry, friend, but I have to find out what this girl really knows about my family. So he's sneaking in to try and talk to Lindsay and such. So he like explodes the guy's gun and then pressure on his head. So he like gives the guy a concussion or something or an aneurysm.
Yeah, he doesn't look too comfortable there.
Don't
Ah!
know. Yeah. Yeah, he's kind
Doubled
of bent
over in
back.
pain. Just enough to render him unconscious without seriously injuring him. Are you sure about that, Lennon? I didn't see that you were a doctor as part of your resume there.
Right? Like, did he practice that on some people?
Whoops. Hey, why did this guy's head explode? I can't imagine. I don't know. Perhaps it was that Ling girl. I don't trust her. Anyway, I gotta go.
100%. She grabs the guard's key card and gets in. Wakes up Lindsay, who turns the lights on, and he's like, "It's me, Leonid Vyshchetsky. You ran into me in the hallway earlier today." He's like,
Damon
"Okay,
Dusha?
I remember you. What do you want?" It's like, "I need to know about my family." So yeah, he kind of sits down with her, and. Again, like it's just kind of a funny look because he's got this big head, he's wearing like a track suit, and then he pulls out the gold chain. So
It's also the aliens from Talos 4 in Star Trek, the ones who would make you see hallucinations or something. Is it just me or does Lindsay look exactly like Damon Dusha back on page 12?
Oh yeah,
You
100%.
flip those two back and forth.
Oh wow.
They're even wearing the same shirt. I don't
Yeah,
understand.
jeez. Yeah. Well, actually, the shirt is slightly different because she doesn't have sleeves, which is a little more
Oh,
feminine,
she
maybe.
takes those off when he goes to bed.
Sleeves off. Chink.
Ah, I feel so much more relaxed now. Anyway,
Oh.
yeah, she so it's the 12-year-old boy from two pages before, and psychic alien track suit guy. Are you from the future? I don't know. It's like, anyway.
Yeah, I guess at that rate it seems a little molesty, but he keeps it
Something.
clean.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's a little touching at the end and crying, and he's complaining about his family and how he misses them so much. And if there was only someone that he could really talk to and.
Yeah, I bet a lot of podcasts would, look into that as, read between the lines a little bit too much,
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean,
but
we're adding that as a silly way. It doesn't really come off that way, but it is funny. But
okay.
yeah, so she agrees to like read his necklace that his wife gave him. And, so if she's touching him at the same time, he can kind of, see what's going on or get some of it. But she narrates anyway. Basically the family's fine. And they're comfortable, but just kind of stuck alone as a prisoner. So again, this kind of freaks out Leonid. It's like, Zoya, no, my love, it isn't fair. I've done nothing to deserve this. Like half in English, half in Russian, and he kind of breaks down. He's like, you're okay. You'll be with them again. You have to believe that. I promise you, you'll be with them again. It's like the girl with like no actionable powers whatsoever. Like I can tell you who touched this door a couple months ago, and the construction guy who installed it. I know all about his family pets, but
I
we'll get
remember
you out of
when
here, man.
she stole items from the commanders of Fort Benning, remember? Like
Yeah,
night masks, photos, and stuff.
nothing,
Nothing. Okay.
nothing.
Sure.
Ugh. Anyway, back to Vladimirov, who's again, he's sort of our narrator through this instead of Kathy, again, with that like differing perspectives thing that Nisieza has fallen in love with at this point. And so they're back in the, I don't know, is it the danger room again or just the workout room? It looks more like the same room, but more exercisey stuff. He's like, I've plotted my revenge. It was better than a sweet dream. So she walks in, like, what's it? Where's everyone else? Chrome Dome? He's like, I gave most of them the morning off, comrade. Most of them? Yes, one member needed special training. And then Shvortnia, the beast woman, it was you can see her like in shadows up in the rafters, and she jumps down, like slashes across her back, and she's got these big long. Wolverine-y kind of gashes coming out of her back. She's like, my back, I'm bleeding. And we get, some word balloons, which I'm assuming is Wayne breaking in there, saying like,
That's what
Kath,
I'm
what did we
thinking.
talk about? Are you going to stink of fear forever? And then, the small boy with the buzz cut, Kathy. Wayne, no, I'm too angry to be afraid anymore. Which again, it sucks because like it's a nice story moment. Like she's overcoming her fear and she's just getting more and more pissed off. She kind of blasts out with her powers and all the equipment's flying, like heavy metal chunks. The beast girl's like yipe, like running away like a dog with the tail between the legs, kind of thing. And Vladimirov's like dashing for the door. So like yeah, like a really cool moment. Just unfortunately, the art doesn't quite keep up. He runs into the observation room. Kathy basically just starts pounding on the other poor woman. Punches flying into him, body checks, just kind of beating her up as Vladimirov is watching with like a shocked expression. So yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, it's a little wonky. Like, is her power? Is she accelerating her own fist? Is it invulnerable somehow with the force power? Why isn't she breaking her hand? But she's basically just like punching out this huge, hulking, strong monster lady.
Yeah, I think you like the hands are glowing, so there's she's adding some strength and protection to it. That makes sense. Serge at this point is thinking about all these children. Boyd neutralized himself. Valman is not a threat.
Yeah, right. Got
The thing of the day.
but she's conspiring with the other guys, I suppose. So
I guess I could light something on
perhaps he's
fire.
wrong on all counts. He's like, I'm in trouble. But yeah, like, so Kathy kind of ends it. She like force grabs this huge heavy barbell, you know, smashes the beast girl with it. Looks up at Vladimirov, who's like behind this like heavy screen, like bulletproof 5-inch thick glass, reinforced walls, and but she just like blasts it open, levitates him out of there. And this again, like this, there's sort of this brutal scene at the end, you know, which would be kind of intense and like maybe, you know, somebody acting a little bit more scary than we'd expect. But you know, she's got him levitating up in the air. Like, you couldn't break me. I'm too strong for that now, physically and mentally, and I'm not gonna let you do it to anyone else. And he's like quivering, like, please, please, I'll do anything. It's like, no, Vladdy, you're not gonna do anything for a while. He's like, what? And then he starts like contorting and making sounds. And so basically, like she breaks his jaw and breaks his hands.
I was saying all thinking all her all those fingers.
Yeah. It's
Took
like
me a while
snip.
to read the hand, the jaw though, yeah.
Yeah. Snap, 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 snap. It's like, figure by the time you heal enough to talk or write, we'll be long gone. Sorry, Baldy, but you asked for it. Don't play power games unless you have the power to back them up. Oh, and by the way, I can smell your fear from here.
Oh yeah.
It's like the title. It smells real sweet. It smells like victory. It's
Not
like, yeah,
like
I
you
know.
peed yourself.
Should have
It
ended
just.
with that last line, I think, but anyway.
Yeah, the.
The end.
It's, yeah, as you say it, you know, it would be. I can imagine sort of a like a. Like her in shadow with like her eyes glowing or something as she's kind of doing this. So it would
Yeah,
be like
this is like, is
very.
she turning bad? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Even like the fingers thing, like his hand still looks kind of normal.
Yeah, I would for like a normal artist, you know that I know hands are difficult, so you would be like, oh, you know, you trained yourself to draw hands well, but now you need to draw them with the fingers pointing in random directions.
Yeah.
It's a little, yeah. It
It
takes a little
kills the
more effort
scene
to
a little
interpret
bit.
it.
Just kind of kills the like epic end.
Undercut yourself a bit there. But anyway,
Yeah.
well, we made it through Psi-Force 28.
We did. A lot of action.
Yeah, stuff going on. It's I mean, it's very explicitly part two of four, so
Yeah.
or at least part two, so yeah. So yeah, it's what is that? Rising action, I guess, in like the standard script writer's handbook. So yeah, that's working. I can't quite tell what the next step is, but like it seems like the jailbreak is going to start right now, but like the
Right. I
next
mean, if
issue.
the leader of the Siberian Project has basically been incapacitated, like what's left keeping you there, I guess, right? I mean, there's still a lot of soldiers and stuff, but who's in
Yeah,
charge
so
and
I think yeah, 'cause she's saying yeah, by the time you do something, you will be long gone. So I mean, Wayne's I don't know, hasn't walked in a long time, not sure is fully awake. Lindsay is using a walker to get around, and
right.
Thomas is completely distracted by this young boy who may or may not understand what's going on.
Right.
So I think from like my understanding of the situation, I would have expected them to kind of slow roll this out a bit more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think we've got promises of things heating up with guest stars next time, so maybe it's a good time to go. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I guess in the previous, there was like a board of, I mean, Serge was the leader, but there was sort of like that meeting, you know, two of the paranormals who are kind of like working to keep things running, and some of the other like Russian officials and workers are all kind of like talking about what to do and what should we do, and like we should just kill these kids and that kind of stuff. And so maybe that will be like it coming to a head, like, all right, this is enough, like we're clamping down on these guys, sending all the guards in, that kind of stuff. Plus the side of, new character on scene, as we find out in the letters, I guess. Or in the what's coming next, I think.
Yeah, I think so. We get a note at some point. Yeah, next, at the end of the letters. So yeah, we've got it's yeah, so the narration from Serge is interesting. It's also like it feels like we barely see any of the other characters, the Russian sort of normal people, his assistants and these various nurses and doctors and stuff. I think we had more of them last issue, in fact. Now they're just kind of faces that rush by you.
Or get tossed aside.
And yeah, you're just, or your brain explodes very mildly, and probably
Just a
you're.
gentle brain hemorrhage.
Can't feel my legs. Okay, I'm sure that's fine. Yeah, it's I don't know. The story is okay, but for me on maybe a little on the low side. But yeah, as we've noted, it's so undercut by the art. It feels like I'm looking at the old How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way, and there would be like a page of how not Marvel does things, and then like the page of Marvel, how Marvel does the same scene or something that's much more dynamic and everything. I feel like we're looking at, the A example here. Early work from a guy, I don't know.
Yeah, very early. I looked up Rodney Ramos. He has an Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So he's still active. And yeah, it looked like, I mean, from the end page, it sounds like he did a Thundercats before this. But not much else. And then if you look at his like Marvel credits on their website, like it doesn't even mention this. It doesn't mention Psi-Force. It's got like a couple of like what if episodes that he was penciler in, and like a whole bunch of inking.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought he had moved into inking eventually. Had a long career with that. Okay, I don't wanna over dwell on it. I mean it gets the story across, but you really feel like you're there's like exhaustion behind the scenes somewhere or something.
Oh, and if you solicited a different artist, then he very well could have been pulled in late.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, it Eric Larson, the Savage Dragon guy, right? I mean, that would have been a coup. I think at the time he got into Spider-Man at some point around now or later. And so he was doing that when Image took off, if I recall right.
That sounds about right. But
I can only re I remember he was doing some DC work as well, but that I his draftsmanship wasn't perfect, but it would have probably done a well. I don't want to dig again, dump on Rodney.
dump on
Rodney, if you're out
people.
there, we're fine. It's good. Anyway, yeah, I think he'd done a couple of these backup stories because he was in the one where Shrapnel came back, remember?
Oh, that's right.
He and Chris Ivy were seemed to be hanging out on the backup story beat for a while there.
Getting blasted by the psychoplasmic pimples.
Made it to the A team or the A story or something. Anyway, any other thoughts on this one? Let's see.
Not really.
I'm going to say that the Russian names are too similar. They're all start with S. Silatochka, Shivotnaya, Fujitsuku also. Serge, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're
I don't mind
Although,
the idea, like theoretically, of having Serge be kind of like the lead narrating us through this, but honestly, I'd rather have Kathy or one of the other characters.
yeah, Silichochka maybe would be interesting, although we kind of
Yeah, he's kind of a wet blanket though, so
that's true.
he's like sad Dave Landers all the time.
It's true. He's not like present for all the key moments too, so
Yeah.
Lint man, let's see. Pick
Nukin
someone.
or the pits and a grade.
I'm tempted to say the pits, but
I mean, it's not Nukin.
okay. I will give this one the pits just for your edification. It
It's
is
definitely one of those
a,
middle ones, yeah.
I would say, like, if I start with the B and take off for art and take off for story, that gives me about a C plus.
Yeah, I'll give it a straight C.
Well, we need a
You've
break.
passed and can move on to the next issue.
Yeah, okay. Okay, what do we got here?
Time for a passion play.
Let's dive right into the passion play because we got some interesting stuff at the back to get to. Passion play, does that ring a bell with you?
I mean, it sounds Jesus-y.
It is, yeah. It's what they would call, like, also the mystery play. I think the passion was the passion of the Christ is the part where he's crucified, and so they go through those the stages just before and during that,
There we go.
and so
Yeah, I
reenacting
should have
the
known that.
crucifixion. There's also, I forget if that's the mystery play also, but the just because I went back to the last issue was power play with Tyrone,
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know if they're doing a thing with him, but kind of a curious thing. Starts with a big title, and we just get a splash of Tyrone. He's in a walker, so he's still having trouble with a. He's in an army uniform, and he's got a couple of MPs behind him. And the credits are Fabian Nicieza is a writer, Hector Colazzo, penciler, and Chris Ivy, inker. Hector, I don't remember seeing before. But, Tyrone is kind of narrating it and is thinking to himself, it's been 5 weeks since I was shipped to Fort Benning in Georgia. It's the place where they cage all the paranormal animals. Sometimes they feed us a scrap or two. The last issue was him arriving there and getting immediately hazed by Pitbull and Bazooka, I want to
Yeah, they dumped it, tried to dump him off the roof.
say. Speaking of rough art, what was that?
Oh man, yeah.
He says he's been a good soldier and he's been working through rehab, and so they tossed him a scrap. They've let me come home to see my family for the first time in 2 years. McCollum and Jankowitz are my keepers for the trip. After 2 hours on a plane and two in a car, we've come to an understanding. The two MPs that he's with. I stay cool and they stay out of my way. They're okay guys, even though McCollum hates the Knicks. None of us wants any trouble. Scarsdale hasn't changed much. The sky's a lot cloudier because of the pit, I guess. And a lot of houses have for sale signs up. There's a burning cross on my front lawn and not that. Scarsdale's like an upscale
It's a lowercase t for Tyrone.
take off, Tyrone. It's
Lowercase, yeah.
a upscale community. I thought closer to New York City than that, but okay. He's thinking, at least my family hasn't left yet. Ty, Mom, Richie. He sees his mom and little brother who run up and hug him, and they're all talking too fast all over each other. And then Tyrone, Dad. And he gets the stare down from the old man. Come inside. Hey guys, you mind staying out here? Tyrone, who's, I remember, the athletic guy, is now in a walker. It's like walks his way into the House. Everything's in crates and boxes. They are planning to move. Why would they do that without telling me? Somehow telling me, I guess.
I like that they
Right?
use like the video game moving company where everything's in like a wooden crate that you would smash to try and find items instead of like a cardboard box.
Yeah, Leon, smash that crate. You can get a gem out of that one and maybe some bullets for your guns. Are you guys moving? Has this pit smoke gotten that bad? Not if you don't mind breathing tar. Ouch. You're the real reason we're leaving. Huh? You and that filthy book. He points over to a cup of coffee that's lying next to Power for the Brain. Andrew Chaser with the good cover. Chaser did it, thanks to hide himself. I'd heard about it, but the army wouldn't let us see it. You've ruined our lives, Tyrone, you and all of your kind. Ouch. I was fired from my job because they thought I was as much a freak as you. Your mother and brother have been ostracized from the neighborhood. It's all because of you. You've ruined any hope we had of living here. Dad, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have come here. I should have stayed with my own kind. Richie jumps in. Hey, ease off, Dad. We all read the book. We know Ty's gone through some rough times. What about us, Richie? What about the rough times we've endured while he's been playing the freak all across the country? Playing the freak all across. Maybe I am a freak to you, Dad, but I didn't ask to be like this. And I didn't run away on purpose. I was forced to by another paranormal. I decided to stay away when I saw how much trouble these paranormals got me into. I didn't want any of you hurt because of me. It's a little late for that now, isn't it? Wait a minute. I've gone through too much too.
Just kind of randomly falls down.
He trips over the coffee table or something. Like a baby, no coordination. Rehab hasn't gotten me up to moving fast. I can certainly fall with the best of them. Stay cool. Stay cool. He doesn't stay cool. Don't lose your temper. Don't lose your temper. Ah, the heck with it. Shack. So the lightning emits from Ty's chest and seems to take his father out. No real control over my astral form anymore, and he doesn't. It just seems to like lightning bolt his father. It just zips out of me like an electromagnetic bullet and cuts down the people closest to me, or maybe subconsciously attacks whoever I want it to. Anyway, the two MPs come in, guns drawn. Freeze! Don't make a move, Freako! Or I swear we'll blow your head into confetti! Sicko powers a knot!
What's the leg situation on that panel where they're jumping in? Like, I'm struggling to find who's connected to what.
It's the guy who's standing is like the third leg of the one who's crouching, or maybe running in very low.
Just because it looks like he's diving in like Superman dive, but.
Yeah, that's okay, a little weird. I can only kind of guesstimate to where the legs are. Hey Ty, we're just doing our jobs. So we're the SS Jankowitz. Ouch. So Stad's okay. He gets up, he's just a little shaky. Ty tells him he doesn't have control over his bioelectrical field anymore. And just part of the price I paid. My friends died. People have been hurt. We're all sorry too. And I'm sorry to come home. You're too busy being angry and self-righteous to care about me. I understand. I won't bother you again. Bye. So Richie and his mother come up. Give us some time. Let us relocate. And his dad says, Tyrone, write to your mother and brother. Tell them how they can stay in touch with you. And maybe when we've had the chance to settle down, we'll try and start over again. All of us together.
Oh.
Thanks. Thanks, Dad. Be careful, okay? All of you, be good. I don't know if I'll ever see them again, but I wanted our time together to mean something, and it did. It meant a new beginning. I'm glad I came home. And. Okay. Okay.
So comes home, the dad's upset with him because he's, sort of incidentally ruined his life. He trips, zaps his dad, and his dad's okay with him now. All right? Am I getting that right?
Is it a new power to control men's minds? I don't
Is it
know.
like, when somebody's acting hysterical in the movies and they slap them and then they come to? Like, is that what happened?
It could be. I know that honestly is, halfway reasonable. I mean, it kind of gives them a sobering moment. I don't know. The power is so vague now that it's like you could have just stripped an electrical wire and just touched the guy and gotten the same response, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. That better not be the last Tyrone story.
I hope not. I hope there's getting back to the Psi-Force, fourth and 10 play. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be?
I'd
What's
be
it gonna
happy
be?
if it's the last Tyrone's family story, but like I said,
Yeah.
yeah, like the letters page was more interesting.
Let's kick on over to the letters page, where they introduce, "Welcome back and welcome aboard to our new penciler, Rodney Ramos." Rod promised to stick with this book until he drops, or it does. It'll be a real photo finish. Especially if it has to keep drawing 500 characters per issue. There were like five this issue.
Yeah, right.
Now on to the
No, George
comics book.
Perez Infinite Crisis or something,
So the letters are about Psi-Force 23, which you all remember was leading into Stasi's death. So there's a lot of speculation over who was going to die next. I also want to point out the first letter. I'd seen I think a letter or two by this guy in some point in the new universe. T.M. Maple, a Canadian guy who was famous for writing so many letters to comic books. This strangely he had apparently just come clean at that point, so it signs it Jim Burke, aka T.M. Maple. He was a famous guy who, I mean, comic circles, who passed away actually in the mid 90s, very young.
Oh, okay. He really went for it, man. Like he's writing about boot camp brawl, like a semi-mediocre sci-fi story where they break their friends out.
That's the thing. He was a very positive guy. He would usually like break down the stories and give you like a nice overview of it, the themes of it, and
Yeah.
thinking about it now, it's actually quite an unusual approach.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like, like your literature professor doing a deep analysis of the story on the back of the Lucky Charms box or something. Like, maybe that's a little extreme, but where does duty lie? Is it loyalty to your country? Is it loyalty to your friends? What if your friends and country are wrong? And how wrong must wrong be before it begins to shake your loyalty? And just who are your friends? Indeed, what is your country? Is it a place, an ideal, a government, a community of friends? What? All of these questions and more were raised by the events of Psi-Force 23. I'm like, okay, maybe I gotta go back and read it. I didn't catch all that. But yeah, I mean, I love the spirit. Like that's one of the most interesting letters in a while. So.
Yeah, it makes our analysis look pretty surface level.
Fabian's over there on his couch reading it, like, ah, finally someone gets me. All these themes I've been trying to work into my. I don't know.
That's a nice letter. The answer to it. Thanks for encapsulating the themes and conflicts that have become the real underpinnings of this series. It's taken some time to get there, but we've watched the Psi-Force kids slowly become the Psi-Force adults. You can see about this current four-part, oh, there it is, Siberian Project. The moral dilemma of humanity is mirrored by people across the world.
Okay. Well, they're just fighting to get out of a prison, but okay.
So it says very little can be simplified in black and white in the real world, let alone much less that of the new universe. Indeed, a true path won't be found for our characters until issue number 32.
Oh, man.
Who decides to stick around and who doesn't will surprise you, though their reasons shouldn't, based on what they're developing all along. Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of hints about the future here, specifically how far into the future they're expecting to go.
Yeah,
So
they didn't say 32 and beyond.
they yeah, we'd sort of speculated based on some news that had hit the press, the comic press at the time, that like the cancellation had already been announced, or at least rumored enough that probably the books were going to purposefully head towards a resolution by now, or at least they were aware of their time was limited. So we're starting to see that, and yeah, so the for us in hindsight, we can sort of see the writing on the wall. At the time, maybe we were like, hey, all right, in a couple of issues we'll have like a new direction, it's cool where we're going with it.
Yeah, the typical fan's not going to have all the little behind the scenes tidbits, but I will forgive them for with the cancellation if in the end they ride off into the sunset in their cool Psi-Force jackets that we've seen a couple times, and in some kind of Psi van, like a themed vehicle of any type.
Abel, I don't want to join you. Psi-Force is always got. Oh, you got us jackets?
But
I'm
wait,
yours
there's more.
forever. Let's see what the other.
So we got the second letter. The guy didn't like issue 22. That was like the Night Mask Dream one.
Yeah. Well.
Was that one that you liked and I didn't?
I'm gonna say it was, yeah, I like that sort of thing. I gotta say, Nicieza is maybe the most experimental in some ways in terms in the writing in the new universe at
Well, I
this
mean, unless you
point.
count Burn, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Experimenting heavily with bad writing.
What's the last thing you would want to do on a title? Oh, let's do that. I know we talked more about Gruenwald would kind of do things that were against convention, but he's not like super experimental in terms of story style or technique and things like that. So
Right.
I don't know. And I've come to like enjoy that in this run. So, like I said before, green issues and things always kind of amuse me. Yeah, what do they call it? Our little foray into Freddy Kruegerville. Definitely intended as a one shot. Bram, at this point, Psi-Force went into a dream that they didn't come out of for about 20 issues. We don't really understand where the audience went, but anyway, we had a good time.
Are you just hoping that one day you'll wake up and it was all a dream? Is that why you like those comics?
Because interestingly, they mentioned the our Night Mask got to be inconsistently psychotic. Check out Starbrand 17, which we just covered in our last episode, I want to say. So that's the backup story in that issue. And DP7 crossover. We're trying to increase audience for both books. And do check out what Mark and Paul are going each month in DB7. Let's see the someone we had such an excellent run by one artist. Welcome aboard, Graham. Well, Charles Graham jumped overboard. He swam towards DC. So yeah, one of the former artists was complimented, but he has already left the book.
You're
Enjoyed his
making me
brief.
draw what?
We enjoyed his brief tenure on the book, but even more excited by the team of Rod Ramos and that Chris Ivy. Tell us what you think. I got to get that sound effect with like it stinks, but
Well.
abandoning the pit, the entire region and its inhabitants have played a recurring role in recent issues of Starbrand and DP7. It was never an integral part of Psi-Force because our characters were on the West Coast, already separated by the time Ken Connell screwed up. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, Yeah, and then a little bit of, who Billy Perry from Edmond, Oklahoma thought was going to die. But yeah, like the next issue part is kind of the interesting piece, I guess. Like they've like actually an actual little preview where it's like the Medusa Web knows that the Psi-Force team is still alive and they don't want the Russians to gain control over them, so it's an all-out action rescue issue.
All
And this
right.
story continues into Justice 28 on sale in 2 weeks as the Web recruits John Tenson for their rescue mission.
All
Justice has a
right.
vested interest in both Psi-Force and Rostvow. He has an interest in Psi-Force?
Justin is like, I judge everyone.
I guess, or like NSC, rescue and recruit paranormals, or I don't know. Yeah, four-part crossover. Maybe Wayne will be awake by then, or maybe not. So I guess we got Psi-Force 27, Psi-Force 28, then Justice 28, and then Psi-Force 29, and that'll be our Siberian Project story.
It's a good question. I kind of thought that it would be four parts of Psi-Force. So if it Justice getting recruited is also a part, that's a five-part crossover issue.
Well, I mean, maybe. Yeah,
I guess we'll see when we get there. That's
we'll
only
see.
2 weeks away though, so
Yeah.
that's good.
Yeah,
Let me also point out that the letters to Psi-Force is the name of the column, not signposts or whatever the heck they were threatening to name rename the columns. So
it
my hatred of the new letter column titles has not borne fruit yet.
not yet.
Just to wrap up the issue, we have an ad house ad for Alpha Flight, and although it's a nice drawing of the Dream Queen by Jim Lee. He is not the artist on the story. And I remember that is a dull point in the period history of Alpha Flight. There's a ad for subscriptions, which are they still have? Yeah, they still have New Universe titles that they're offering to give you a subscription to.
We got rid of the Ken Connell subscribe or I'll blow up your city.
Well, that's a relief, yes.
Instead, we got Christmas Wolverine.
Very, yeah, it looks like Wolverine from the first issue of his new title. I don't know, is that out yet? I don't see it on the list.
Nine
No, there
issues,
it is,
regular
yeah.
price, $13.50.
You're right. For that. We have the usual on sale this month, the other four titles, and yeah, Justice. Does not have Psi-Force on the cover, but
It
okay.
does look like he's trying to eat a tiny bed, though. So, yum, yum,
Right.
yum, yum.
We have DP7's coming up next week, and we'll touch on that in a second. And we have Universe News has come back, which missed last month. The official timeline of the new universe continues. And we have profile on Rodney Ramos. Yes. New penciler of Psi-Force. So we'll dig into him for a second.
Yeah.
Is the regular penciler on Psi-Force 28 and up? And also upcoming four-part Devil Slayer story in Marvel Comics Presents. Marvel Con freelance credits past, Thundercats 24, a couple of new universe backups. Wow.
Yeah.
The he's
Thundercat 24. It's only one Thundercat. We lost
On
the
his
story.
own, Lion-O must protect the Sword of Omens with no help from nobody.
Can
Thundercat, new
I
bold
even
new
get a Robert
direction.
Burble in here or something? He's from
he's
Queens and he hates the subway.
yeah he's one of these like must have grown up and just like gravitated very quickly to the bullpen. He says his oddest habit is cooking spaghetti at 5 in the morning and being the last artist on a book. Yeah, he was the last artist on Thundercats.
Oh, really?
Star Comics. That was, I guess, the last issue they did. And
Rodney Dreamkiller Ramos.
is there another book you're trying to tell us has been canceled, Rodney? Anyway, let's see, he was in high school. He seems like one of these kind of hyperactive kids. His favorite performers, he likes Elvis Costello, George Joe Jackson, X. Oh, yeah, some nice 80s tunes there. The last movie he saw was Red Heat. I think that's Schwarzenegger and Jim Belushi, like that.
Maybe it's been a while, yeah.
I think the
That
one,
sounds
yeah, where
right.
like he's like a, yeah, like a Russian cop who comes to stop like a drug dealer or something.
Yeah,
That's
that sounds right.
anyway, that's a book, that's a movie I haven't seen in ages. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, not really. He works. He's tired. Tells
Pretty.
bad jokes to Hector Collazo. Maybe distracts Hector Collazo when he's trying to draw a backup story. And it doesn't turn out that great.
Nice job on Ty there. Yeah, keep going in that direction. Good job. My job is safe forever now. Yeah, he seems young and pretty normal, so good for him. I don't know. I think it's I don't know. I'm not super excited about the next few issues of, but perhaps he'll develop quickly. I don't know.
Maybe it'll be great, right? It's possible, right?
It's possible. Let's see. Anything? I guess that'll be it for this week's episode. Next time, the new universe checks in our displaced paranormals plus a cast of thousands, DP7 number 28. That's supposed to be you.
Don't know. It says you. And then I got
Okay.
nothing, and then you do the next everything else.
No. Yeah. There you
It's reunion time for DP7, but instead of champagne and smiles, the event could demand funeral wreaths and tears because ready to attack and destroy them is their greatest enemy. The candidate? The Candidate is written by
go.
Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Romeo Tangal. 32 pages, Mando offset paper, direct sales only $1.50.
I was on the
I put my
fence. I'll
all
tell
into
you
that one.
what, you sold me. That I was on the fence until Mando came up. Yeah,
Mando,
it's like
Mando,
time to sell.
Mando. Paper, paper,
Yes, we do
paper.
have, you know, the cover is on the on sale this month, and it's the culmination, or at least the continuation of a storyline we've been seeing for a while now. But we'll let you stay in suspense for another week if you haven't checked it out. In the meantime, you can check us out at our website, again, tickersinc.com, which I just renewed for another year. So we're good. We're
Nice.
safe. And you can
Take
always
that,
eat.
Disney.
You can. You we always email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Isn't much, but I'll take it, you little nut.
What did you do? I could feel my family.
Just don't feel your family too much.